The Sports Interview with Anne Liguori podcast is brought to you by iBeCool Luxury Athleisure Wear for Men and Women, featuring the exclusive ice-fill cooling technology, along with SPF 50 plus sun protection. Look your best. Protect your skin. Visit ibkul.com to learn more.
Welcome to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori, and it is my pleasure to say hello to Rob LaBritz, the director of golf at Glen Arbor Golf Club in Bedford Hills, New York, and a full-fledged member of the Champion Tour. Congratulations, Rob. I was pulling for you. I always pull for you. And it's always like I feel like I'm sending congratulations notes to you all the time. And now this, what a great achievement. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's been a bunch of years in the making, and you know, we're actually sitting here. It's a few weeks past that qualifier, and my stomach has finally settled, and I feel like a weight's been lifted off my shoulders.
So you've been a lifelong club professional. Have you always had this dream to play on the tours?
I have always had the dream. Playing in all those majors that I have, obviously you get that taste for it and you get to be Mick Jagger for a week, but the fire has never left me. But the job is a consuming job. So, I'm always around the game, which makes me happy, but the underbelly of the competition has always been there. And the Metropolitan PGA has great events that we play in year round, or, you know, all during our spring, summer, fall. And then the PGA of America has a great winter program. So, as far as satisfying the hunger of playing golf, you know, I have that. Now I get to do it at just a little bit higher of a level and really pumped to get in there.
So you won the final stage of the PGA Tour Champions qualifying tournament by 3 shots, shooting, what, a 64 in the final round?
Yeah, I mean, that was, I've been asked a few times in some interviews now, is that the round of your life? And I have to say, yes. I mean, I think I have 7 course records. 62 is my lowest, but you know, to the night before the final round, you know, I saw a lot of things flashing before my brain, you know, very emotional, you know, knowing that I was in this spot and I could actually get the job done. I reached out to a bunch of people and got some great advice and, you know, went out there, talked to the man upstairs, and he, you know, we bogey-free 64. So, you know, here we go. Get to play with the likes of Mickelson and Couples and Watson, and just can't wait to get out there.
It's so great. So, gosh, a 64. Well, first of all, before you take us through that round, who did you reach out to, and what kind of advice did they impart on you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I reached out to a lot of people. I was pretty emotional, you know, going into that final round. I reached out to my coaches, Tom Wilson, Bill Davis, Carl Alexander. And then also reached out to a few people that I met a few weeks prior. Well, one person in particular gave me some great advice, Brandel Chamblee. And then, you know, I've been friends with Rich Beam for a long time, so I reached out to him. And then Jim Herman as well. And all the guys, you know, just said the same thing. Keep that smile on your face. You're good enough. Go ahead and get the job done. And then I reached out to my son and Matthias, and he is actually the one who said, you know, Dad, you've been playing with me since we've been 3 years old. He goes, you know, you're destined to do this. Just go out there, smile, have a great time. And my wife probably gave me the best advice. You know, Carrie, she's awesome. She's such a supportive. She's my right hand. She's awesome. She's like, I mean, you know, she's my yin of my yang. You know, she told me one thing. She goes, I know how you like to go out there and talk to people and just, you know, you're a very social person. She goes, I just want you this one round. She goes, smile. She goes, put your head down and just don't get distracted and get the job done. And she goes, and then your reach will be to whoever you want. And that was the probably the real piece that kind of put me over the edge, because I continued to smile out there. But, you know, there was a lot of people out there following us, and I just kind of kept my head down and did what she asked, and it worked out great.
That's great advice from your wife, because she knows you better than anybody. And you probably, as a director of golf and, you know, lifelong club professional, you're always entertaining. You're always being social. You always want to give of yourself, but this was all about your focus and your concentration and getting the job done. And it's hard to do that when you're trying to entertain everybody or be nice to everybody.
100%. I, you know, And to be honest with you, I've gotten pretty good at it. I can do that, but there's still a level of focus that needs to be maintained. She opened up a new door for me. So I'm going to channel what she gave me that final round and bring it into the other tournaments that I play in.
So talk about that final round. You were at Tampa, right? At the TPC course in Tampa, Florida?
Yep, TPC Tampa Bay. It was great starting out the week, actually. We got there and an old, super old friend of mine, Steve Ostroff, is now the GM there. Didn't know that until I got there. It was nice to see him. I haven't seen him in about 24 years. We used to play the Golden Bear Tour together and Montgomery Tour back in the 90s. And, he was really excited. It was kind of connecting with an old friend, which was awesome. And then, all the support that poured out, that week, there's two people that came out that they did in Buckhorn Springs in my first round, the Adcocks came out, who I met at Buckhorn. They said some nice things to me and they showed up again on the final day of the final round and said some nice things to me. I've been talking to the man upstairs a lot more, just to kind of, solidify there's just so much support. I want to do everything right. It was just one of those great rounds where all the support, I could feel it. I was super nervous, super nervous. I mean, I can't tell you, my stomach was in knots. I could hardly eat. I was choking food down just to get, the energy in you. But I competed under those nerves and came out pretty solid. So very happy with the outcome.
So the 18th hole, if I remember correctly, it's pretty long. There's water on the right, bunkers on the left. What was going through your mind as you teed it up on the 18th to try to close this out?
Yeah, I the whole day I knew I was playing well, and I never know how many under or over par I am. Hopefully I'm under par, but I try to focus on one shot at a time. So I turned to my caddy, Todd Luigi, on 16, and I said to him, I said, where do we stand? I didn't know, honestly. And he said, you're 17 under. And I said, are you sure? And he goes, yeah. He goes, Rob, you're 7 under today. And I was like, wow. So, I said, okay, so what's fifth place? And I think he thought I said something else. He said, you've got 3 shots. And I was like, oh my gosh, 3 shots to fifth place. I said, I better grin and bear. He goes, no, you got a 3-shot lead. He goes, the fifth place is like 8 or 9 under. And I was standing on that 16th tee at 17 under. And again, a calmness came over me where I just said, okay, you can just hit quality golf shots like you've been doing the last 4 days or 3 days. And I did. And I had great playing partners too with David Branshaw and Tung Chai JD. Super supportive. We're all rooting for each other when we're out there. We want each other to play well. We're in the final group. We want all of us to make it. So, as people are making birdies, we're giving each other high fives and stuff. And just, it was a really cool last day, to be honest.
So are you telling me that you really never are aware of your standing on the leaderboard, or just this particular day when you were just so focused and, just in the zone that you didn't know?
Yeah, there were no leaderboards out here. So you had to look on your phone. And my phone stays in the bag. When I'm on the golf course, I don't ever answer my phone. But I asked Todd to just make sure he knew when I asked him, where we stood, and he kind of had his phone in his pocket. But if there's leaderboards, I know, and it doesn't, it doesn't change my game plan at all. Although if you're a couple behind, it might make you a little more aggressive. But, I found over the years that, if you just kind of play and not try to be aggressive or try to be passive or just try to, if you just play your game, that's the best recipe. You can't really try to do other things, knock it close, a putt, try to get it close. You're always trying to make putts. So, for me, it was a sort of relief that I knew that I was there, so I was there, I had shots to spare. Thank goodness I didn't spare him. I'm coming down the line, which is great, but it was great.
So how long have you been dreaming of qualifying for the Champions Tour?
So I left playing full time in the Canadian Tour in 2005, I believe, went through a divorce a few years later, and I had a child. But when I left that Canadian Tour in 2005, I became a club pro, director of golf again. But the deep down, I just kind of pushed that playing full-time guy sort of down. And I became a coach and a mentor and a director of golf and help running a business. And, and, you know, did all that. But in the grand scheme of things, I still kept my game sharp. I still worked out. I still, you know, practiced every day. I don't let a day really go by, because deep down I knew I wanted to give the Champions Tour a shot when I turned 50. And my son Matthias was my only child at the time before I got married again. He was going to be 18 when I turned 50. So he had been off at school. So it was like a perfect little scenario. Now, granted, I got remarried and I have two beautiful daughters. But my wife is 100% supportive of everything that we do. She is my rock and my yin of my yang. And, you know, she's just there, you know, cheerleading and taking care of all the stuff at home so I can go ahead and just, you know, play some good golf. So it's been in the makings, I'd have to say, you know, since I left playing full time in 06.
So what's it going to be like, Rob, juggling your schedule as the director of golf at Glen Arbor and playing enough so you can really compete, you know, on this level, the Champions level?
Yeah. So, you know, I plan on obviously keeping my job. But the one thing, the job that I do want to keep is the one that I was just given, which is the playing guy. I always wanted to balance and merge the PGA Tour or the PGA Champions Tour with the PGA of America. I always felt that there was that sort of the side of the business was lacking. It was either like you were a club professional or you were a touring professional. And I always believed that, you know, everybody told me you can't do both. You can't do both. You can't do both. And I've heard this my whole life. You can't do both. Now, I never played on the PGA Tour. I played a few events, but you can do both if you just have this vision and you still set aside time to get it done. I'd love to talk to the PGA of America and see what type of classification they're going to give me. I know I'm still going to be doing the job. And my off weeks, I'll be going to meetings. I'll be seeing my members. I'll be playing with my members. I'll still be coaching. So, you know, we're going to navigate some waters that I don't think a lot of people have done. And I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, what opportunities we can open up for other PGA pros and other apprentices that are coming up, you know, that aren't 50 yet that want to have this dream. So if I can help in any way or pave the way in any way, I'm all for it, because, you know, change is good, especially when it's when you get an opportunity to really get your dreams fulfilled. So
how will you do it? You're in New York and then you'll go to Florida to train and practice and then you'll be on the road. There are a lot of tournaments on the Champions Tour.
Yeah. So I'll be on the road a good amount. I think there's 25 events that I've qualified for already. And then also the, hopefully I'll qualify for the other ones by position on the money list and finishes in the first few events. But on my off weeks, you know, we still have our house up here through April of 2023. My daughter's in third grade. And my 11-month-old hasn't started yet, but we want to keep her in school until the season, you know, her year finishes. And then I'd love to have my wife and two daughters come out on the tour with me to experience it. And we plan on just grinding away and working our tails off to get some wins out there and go finally play in that Charles Schwab Cup.
Do you feel you're a better player now than ever? Or were you like this, say, maybe 10 years ago, but you know, it just didn't happen where to qualify for any.
Yeah. No, that's a good question. You know, I always had to, you know, the job was always in the forefront. So, you know, time was always, you know, the extra time that I had was able to put into my golf game. So now I'm going to actually have time to put in my golf game, but to be honest with you, you know, the last few weeks, you know, I played in the senior club pro, I played pretty solid there. I finished sixth. I had a tough last round because I walked all four rounds, which actually would have got me right into finals, which was a blessing that I didn't get into finals. I missed by a shot, which put me into that first stage. First stage gave me a ton of confidence just to see the talent level out there and play with the guys. And then final stage gave me more confidence to know that I can compete under pressure and just, you know, just get the job done. I feel like I'm a much more complete golfer. I know I'm working on the correct things. My short game takes up the bulk of my practice. I'm a very good ball striker and I'll keep my body in great shape so I can compete. So I'm definitely, and mentally, I'm just a better person. I'm in a better stage in my life. I'm very settled. I'm confident. I've got a great group of friends and teammates around me that just make all this stuff happen. So I'm in a great spot and very, very comfortable right now. So,
It's like fine wine, Rob. You get better with age.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I think 50 is the new 30 from what I've heard.
Exactly. And you stay in shape. Take us through your routine throughout the week. What do you do physically and mentally to be the best you can be?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, Tuesdays, we usually have off from the club. I usually compete in tournaments Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays if we have a tournament week. So, I'm preparing mentally for those, tournaments up to that point. I generally, during the week, I'll check out to see what events I have coming up, which ones I need to prepare for. My book is generally structured around, the tournaments. So my lessons are scheduled, appropriately. The meetings are scheduled appropriately. And then there's time to work on my game. I do a lot of mental focus at night. A lot of visualization at night when things calm down. And sometimes I'm an early riser. So sometimes in the mornings I'll get up and I'll just kind of sit down and close my eyes and get my coffee and just envision the things that I want to do and breathe and just kind of calm myself down. It's funny how you feel anxiety build up. And then when you really get into meditation after the meditation and visualization, all that stuff, you just feel like a weight's been lifted off you. So the breathing part, that's all been extremely helpful to me. And I do that on a daily basis and practice every day and work out every day, whether it be stretching my Peloton, working out my trainers. I just do something every day to keep mobile, limber, and ready to go and ready to compete.
Yeah. Don't you feel the older you get, the more you have to stretch and work out and tone and keep in shape and eat the right foods. It just doesn't come naturally. It just, you have to really work at all that.
100%. I mean, especially, after the Friday, two Fridays ago, there was a lot of partying going on. There was a lot of wine that hit the system and a lot of crazy foods that hit the system. It was kind of like almost like but after a week or so, I looked at my face in the mirror. I saw some bags under my eyes. I'm like, oh my goodness, we gotta get back on the straight and narrow and not drink so many great Napa cabs.
Exactly. So when did you first start playing golf and who was your mentor as far as your own golf playing days?
So I started playing golf when I was about 4 or 5 years old. I grew up on a little country club called Pattonbrook Country Club. It was a little executive golf course in Southington, Connecticut. My dad, he liked to drink a lot. He was, a bit of an alcoholic. So I found his golf clubs in the garage and we literally lived on the golf course. So I would take his golf clubs and just go on the golf course because I didn't want to be in the house. And, I'd hit shots into the eighth hole and the ninth hole and the 18th hole and just really developed a love for the game around that age. I tried baseball for a few years and when I was 9, 10, 11. And there was another, one of my good friends, who's another great golfer, Fast Eddie Fernandez. He won the World Long Drive in 2018. Him and I used to have a whistle for each other. We lived 4 houses down from each other. And we used to meet each other on the first tee and just play against each other constantly. So, I don't think we missed a day until it started to snow. And even when it started to snow, we'd take our clubs out there, we'd throw some spray paint on the golf balls and go play. So we loved it. And he actually was at finals of Champions Tour Q School too, as well. And I know that he'll get his break and play well and get through the qualifier too coming up. But he was my big driving force, Southington, Connecticut. And then my parents moved me down to Hobe Sound, Florida when I was a junior in high school. So I could play year round. And that's when my game started to really get good because, you don't take 4 months or five months off. You just compete all the time. Played the AJGA Tour for a few years, played in the U.S. Junior Amateur and then got a nice scholarship to college. And I only lasted in college a year at Central Connecticut State. We were 18th in Nation Division I. I found it way too easy to skip class and hit golf balls, to be honest with you, which, hindsight, looking back at it, I wish I stayed there and finished out my education. And I wouldn't put that on anybody, but it was my doing, but it worked out okay.
Would you say you're more self-taught your golf swing when you were a kid or?
Totally self-taught. There was a guy who helped me out a little bit named Jeff Torrance when I was at Pattonbrook, and he just would come out and give me a tip here or there. But when I moved down to Hobe Sound, Florida, when I was 16 or 17, I started working with a man by the name of Bill Davis, who was the director of golf at Jupiter Hills. And he really taught me sort of how to practice, how to play, the confidence you needed to do, And then, you know, I started working with another gentleman, Tom Wilson, who kind of taught me a little bit more about the golf swing. Worked with him starting in about 2000. I think we met, so we've been together about 21 years, or 99. And he opened up my brain about how to, you know, just swing a golf club. And then between him and Bill, and then now I've worked a lot in the last month or two with a gentleman by the name of Carl Alexander at the Golf Club Purchase. And he's opened up just another new avenue for me for ball control. So, you know, those guys have been, and oh, and David Orr for putting. I worked with David Orr in July of last year. He just, he blew my mind, and I've been putting great ever since. So like, big thank you to all those guys.
What did David Orr teach you? Tell me.
So what did he teach me? He taught me, that's my little newest one. He taught me, this is Logan. It's Ann LaGorry. He taught me, you know, he kind of fixed my grip a little bit. He gave me some drills to do, and just gave me some confidence out there. He told me I was a very good putter already, and he wanted to shine up my armor a little bit more. And so we did that, and I've been working on his stuff every day for 10 to 15 minutes a day, which he said, and it's been working out great. And I've been making a lot of putts, and I'm not three putting anymore. So things have been working real great. Big shout out to David. So thank you.
That's my New Year's resolution. No more three putting.
Well, I'll tell you, if you want to go see him, he will take you away from that three putt action.
I will have to get his contact information. That would be a great idea. That would be your gift to me. A couple more questions, Rob. Yes. The Champions Tour. So, gosh, Bernard Langer and Phil Mickelson and, you know, Jay Haas, longtime buddy, all these great players who have this, you know, obviously Phil can still win on the PGA Tour as he did at the PGA Championship at the Ocean Course on Kiawah Island in May. But my goodness, who do you look to on that tour that you probably know most of them, right? I mean, it's just so exciting that you're going to be competing alongside these guys, and your scores are so worthy. So, you know, you really do belong.
Thank you. You know, there's not one person out on that Champions Tour. There's not one person. Every one of them I look up to, because they were the ones that drove me as I was coming up. I mean, I used to watch Inside the PGA Tour, watch all the events when I was a kid, and watch all these guys. So, you know, any person that plays full time for a living and has done just that, I've got the highest regards and respect for, because to be able to just hone your craft and make money on just getting the ball in the hole, it's pretty impressive over a long period of time. All of them, I'm sure, have a wealth of knowledge. And as a PGA professional and now Champions Tour member, I've got two sides to me. I'm a Gemini as well. So I've got a learning side to me, and I've got a competitive side to me. And the learning side is going to be like a sponge out there, just getting to know, you know, the travel, the venues, the do's and don'ts. And then the competitive side of me is going to, you know, want to shoot the best scores I can. And I don't care who I'm playing against, because the bottom line is it's you against the golf course. It's not you against any other player. You've got to play your best on the golf course. And if you do that and you make more birdies than bogeys, you'll probably come out with a pretty good paycheck. So, you know, I'm looking forward to learning from every one of those legends out there. I'm blessed to be even considered in the same category or have the same card that they do. It still gives me goosebumps just to think about, to be honest, because, you know, I'm going to get out there and just learn and smile and try to make a ton of birdies.
And you're right, but your mindset has to be like it was on that final round, right? To qualify for the Champions Tour, you know, as far as handling the pressure and expectation, you just have to be in that zone and not worry about everything else going on.
Yeah, no, and you know, that's the good thing about the competitive side of me. I have that. I developed that skill. I can do that. So I'm just going to have to do it a little bit more often this year. Instead of playing in 12 events, I'm going to probably be playing close to 30. Or, you know, 15 events, probably close to 30. So, you know, taking my time, I've learned to walk slower. I've learned to look around a lot more, just enjoy it. I feel like we've said, I feel like a weight's been lifted off my shoulders. I feel so proud and confident to be a PGA professional. And I hope I can just, you know, lift all the other PGA pros that want to do this and give them some inspiration and just to never give up on their dreams, because, you know, with the right sort of attitude and visualization and game, you know, you can do this. And just never give up, because the mind is a powerful thing. It's a super powerful thing. And the more that I visualize, the more that I understand this.
Rob, what has golf taught you that you carry over to life?
Well, so, I mean, everything that I have is due to the game of golf. Everything. I mean, there's not one thing that hasn't been brought to me by the game of golf. Respect the game, respect yourself. There's, I guess the one thing is never do anything wrong, because there's always an up to a down. If there's something that you do wrong, or if you, you know, take advantage of something somewhere, there's going to be a dip in that equilibrium, so to speak. So, you know, be thankful. That's a really good question. It's really all about you out there, and just surrounding yourself with a great team and great people, and having a vision. You know, the game of golf is so sacred, so special to me. I just hope I can play it until I can't play it anymore.
Golf is such a microcosm of life, and everything you just said, I'm sure you carry over to your day-to-day life.
100% hard work, dedication, never giving up. Getting people excited about the game. One of the things that I love so much is all my students is I get them excited about the game. I get them better. So they're playing better golf. And when they're playing better golf, their families are happier. They're going home happy. Their friends, they just, you know, it's like this, you know, it's like a fuse. As you light the fuse, it just kind of travels to everything. So, just a blessed guy, man.
I love your energy and your happiness and the joy. It's just written all over your face, and your passion to be the best you can be, not only as a player, but as an instructor and everything you do. Recently, the PNC Championships, Tiger and Charlie Woods, and all these other great pairings with John Daly and his son winning. What were your thoughts when you saw Tiger out there? And boy, was I impressed with Charlie for the second straight year. That he performed so well under pressure for a 12-year-old.
First of all, just to see Tiger out there hitting 300-yard drives, OMG. This just goes to show, and I know Joe LaCava, and I've been pestering Joe for the past 3 or 4 years, ever since I've qualified for PGAs, just want to play around with Tiger. So I'm going to keep pestering Joe to play around with Tiger. I would love to do that. You know, when you have a child like Tiger does, and he instills those, you know, Tiger's, him and Nicholas, the two best players to ever play the game, right? Record wise, you know, to see him giving Charlie, you know, his wisdom and just, you know, I mean, just what he can do with the game. I mean, this kid's something special. Obviously, he's got great DNA. And then on top of it, you know, he's got one of the best players as a dad on the planet. But to see them all out there happy and spending time with their families, it reminds me to do the same thing with my son, Matthias, and my daughter, Ryan. You know, to watch little John Daly. I mean, here's a kid, he's made it vocal that he wants to go play the PGA Tour. I have no doubt in my mind that this kid's going to go play the PGA Tour. He's already saying it. He's not even in college yet. That's going to be his focus. He's going to do it. He's already got the game, you know. All these other kids too. I mean, watching Charlie's 12. I mean, he's making putts. He's flipping Tiger his court. I mean, he seems so comfortable out there. I watched a great interview with Carl and Henrik Stenson. That was really cool. To see the personalities that the kids take that are just like their fathers. It's really cool, you know. It's awesome. It's awesome to see. I was kind of glued to the television for a few hours to watch this and. Got to see Tiger and Charlie almost win. Not to take anything away from John and you know, little John Daly, but wow, what some great golf out there.
Well, continued success. You've always been a rock star in my book, and now it just went to a whole new level with your, you know, qualification for the Champions Tour. And I can't wait to see you up there. You have to come on my Talking Golf show on WFAN, and we'll continue following you, Rob. Really, I'm so happy for you, and continued success.
And thank you very much. Enjoy your show. Listen to it all the time. Continued success to you too. And I look forward to our next adventure.
That's what it is. Life's an adventure. Just embrace it as you do. You're an inspiration, Rob. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Ann. Pleasure to be on with you.
The Sports Interview with Anne Liguori podcast was brought to you by IB Cool Luxury Athleisure Wear for Men and Women, featuring the exclusive IceFill cooling technology along with SPF 50 plus sun protection. Look your best. Protect your skin. Visit ibkol.com to learn more.